Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Today, we are going to continue our discussion about macronutrients. So over the last month, we did an episode on carbohydrates, and before that, we did an episode on protein. And so the natural next step is to talk about the third macronutrient and the final macronutrient, which is fat. Now, fat gets a bad reputation because fat is what we want to lose when we are losing weight. And so the logical assumption is if we want to lose fat, we should eat less fat, right? If we want to store less fat, we should probably eat less fat. But in reality, our body can turn both protein and carbohydrates into fat when we eat them and store them that way when we have excess of any type of nutrient. And so eating less fat does not necessarily mean you're going to store less fat. And it also doesn't mean you're going to burn more fat. So those do not go hand in hand. Our body is just not that simple. The other thing to know about fat is that it's actually completely essential to how the human body functions. For example, fat helps us absorb vitamins like A, D, and E. Fat also coats and covers our nerve cells. So the nerves in our body and the biggest set of nerves in our body, which is the brain. So pretty important body parts that are completely dependent on having fat and fat in the diet. And even cholesterol, which tends to get a bad reputation, is the building blocks of all the cells in our bodies. It's in the cell walls for each of our cells, as well as being the building block of hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol, and a few other hormones that are essential to our body. So fat gets this bad reputation, though that has really improved over the last decade. We still think, oh, I want to lose fat. I want to have less fat in my diet. And that is not always the case because fat is performing very important jobs in the body, essential jobs. Another reason fat gets a bad reputation is because it is the most dense of all of the macronutrients. So where protein and carbohydrates only have 4 calories per gram, fat has 9 calories per gram. So that's more than twice the amount of calories in the same weight of food. So this makes the calories from fat add up more quickly. So when we are adding fat to our diet, incorporating fat in our diet, being mindful of fat in our diet, moderation and portion size become especially important. So let's take a healthy fat like peanut butter, one of my favorite foods. A serving of peanut butter is just 2 tablespoons, so not very much. But it's 190 calories. So that's as much as a protein bar or a big breast of chicken, right? So just 2 tablespoons of peanut butter has about 190 calories. And most of those are coming from fat. If we compare that to 2 tablespoons of, say, egg whites, that may only have like 20 calories because that's just pure protein. So there's a lot more density in our fatty foods. And then when we actually break apart those fatty acids in our body, we are able to get a lot more calories from them per gram than we can from protein and carbs. So those are some of the reasons why fat has gotten a really bad reputation and why for many years, cutting fat from the diet was a health strategy and a weight loss strategy that was really supported. And I think we're coming back to a more moderate place currently with nutrition, where we're trying not to blame any one food source. And what I hope that you've gathered from this little series on macronutrients is that the type of food matters a lot more than the macronutrients and more than the total calories, because food has lots of different effects on our body. So just like we talked about different types of carbohydrates in the carbohydrate episode and how some of those have more health benefits, maybe more weight benefits, maybe more fullness benefits than other carbohydrates, the same is true with fat. There are different types of fats, and we'll dive into a little bit of that now, some of the fat terms that you may commonly hear and why some of them are better for you than others, and where are some common places that you can get those different types of fats in your diet. And again, this is not saying everything is good or bad. We're really trying to understand what makes sense for our body here, what makes sense in terms of our health. So we'll start off. There's going to be four types of fats we're talking about right now. The first is saturated fat. So these are fats that are usually solid at room temperature, and these are found mostly in animal products. So this is the fat that is on, say, the edge of your piece of meat. You have a delicious ribeye or New York strip, and that fat on the edge and the fat that is marbled into your steak, that's going to be a saturated fat. Same thing, your pork chop or your sausage, your pork products, the fat in that is a saturated fat. The fat that's on your poultry, your chicken or your turkey, is going to be a saturated fat. The fat in dairy, which is often called cream, or the butter or the other fat that goes with our dairy products, that is going to be a saturated fat. And the fat that is in egg yolks, in the yellow part of the egg, is also going to be a saturated fat. So a lot of the saturated fats are coming from animal products. But there are some plant sources of saturated fat as well, coconut oil and palm oil being some of the more common ones. And we're actually seeing a trend towards more coconut and palm oil in foods because of the next fat we're going to talk about, trans fat, which has been largely eliminated from a lot of foods. So you may find that there are more of these plant-based saturated fats in your food. So why do we care about saturated fat? There is some evidence, some links, that too much saturated fat, increased saturated fat, may not be good for heart health. This has been a pretty long party line. And then there are some people who will sort of argue this and look at bigger picture information. But probably for many people, watching how much saturated fat you have in your diet is a reasonable health calculation to make, because there is some correlation between too much saturated fat in the diet and heart health, meaning things like heart attacks may be more likely for people who eat too much saturated fat, so too much fat from animal products. Okay, our next big category of fat is the trans fats. Now, there are small amounts of trans fats that can occur in animal products, but the vast majority of trans fats are going to be man-made, or should we say people-made. These are going to be usually also called partially hydrogenated oils. These are commonly used in commercially made fast foods. So your fried food from restaurants and restaurant food, as well as our ultra processed and processed foods that you can get at the grocery store. So snack foods that have oils in them that add to that creamy texture, that add to that fried texture of foods. In the 1990s, so quite a while ago now, we started to recognize that these trans fats that we thought maybe were healthier than saturated fats were not. And there was a clear link between increased trans fats and heart health. As a result, some places in the world have banned or restricted and limited these. And some parts of the U.S. have done this, but mostly here in the U.S., nutrition labels are just required to put that on there with an emphasis towards getting rid of trans fats. So a lot of foods will say zero on them. That's a good first step when you're looking at nutrition labels to make sure there's no trans fats in them, because we do know that this is really probably not a great safe food at this point. In fact, it's not even considered one of our GRAS foods, a GRAS, generally recognized as safe foods in the US. But even foods that say zero can have trace amounts. And if you're eating a lot of fat food that only has a tiny, tiny amount per serving, so little it doesn't have to be on the package, but you're eating a couple servings of that every day, you could actually be getting a fair amount of trans fats in your diet. So you also want to look at any of your packaged foods and see if one of the ingredients is a partially hydrogenated oil, because that can also be a trans fat. So again, these are food fats that, you know, they thought might be better for people. It turned out they weren't. And so there's been a big push to take these out of foods, but something to still be mindful of. And another reason to limit the amount of packaged and processed foods that we have in our diet, because that's where these are often going to show up. Okay, so then we have our monounsaturated fats, and sometimes these are abbreviated as MUFAs, which I just think is a really fun word to say. So our monounsaturated fats, or our MUFAs, are usually liquid at room temperature. So remember, we have the saturated fats, things like butter, fat on our meat, those are solid when you just put it out on the counter. Our monounsaturated fats are usually going to be a liquid, but if you put them in the fridge, if you get them cold, they will often become a solid. So a good example of this is olive oil. So if you've ever made something with olive oil and you pop it in the fridge, you'll know that it gets that kind of hard texture to it. And then once it brings back to room temperature, it becomes a liquid again. So monounsaturated fats are things like olive oil, peanut oil, canola oil, sesame oil, avocado oil, peanuts, and many other nuts. And there's pretty good evidence about Mediterranean diets, but even some that specifically just give people lots and lots of olive oil or other sources of monounsaturated fats, that show that these fats actually improve health, reduce heart attacks and strokes. So this is why olive oil is so often recommended, not because you're going to lose weight from olive oil. It still has plenty of calories in it, but because it has heart benefits. So if you are trying to pick what sort of oil to use to cook, and your choices are butter or canola oil or olive oil, we have really good evidence that olive oil is good for your health. And I personally think it's very tasty, but there's lots of different types. So some have a stronger taste and some are much more mild, where you can't really taste that olive flavor. But olive oil, definitely great for health, and our most sort of well-known and popular MUFA, or monounsaturated fat. But again, other ones like peanut oil, sesame oil, avocado oil, and then in many nuts, you're going to find these MUFAs that, again, even those nuts, great, great health benefits. So as we're trying to pay attention to the fat in our diet, we want to try to get more of it from our MUFAs, our healthy fatty acids, than from our saturated fats. So while I love butter, and if I have some great bread, I'm definitely going to put a little bit of great butter on it. Most of the time, you know, we try to cook with olive oil in our house because of those additional health benefits. All right. And then last up, we have our polyunsaturated fats, or PUFAs. So we had our MUFAs, now we have our PUFAs. And these are found in a lot of our seeds. So things like pumpkin seeds, pepitas, sunflower seeds, cooking oils like corn oil and safflower oil, and some nuts like pine nuts. There's a specific polyunsaturated fat that you have probably heard about, and this is omega-3. Omega-3 is found in salmon, especially wild salmon, and other fatty fish. Again, more of these are going to be found in your wild-caught fish than in your farm-raised fish. It's also in seeds like flaxseed, chia, walnuts, and algae, and you can buy omega-3 supplements. And omega-3, just like the olive oil, has been demonstrated to have heart health benefits. So, you know, if you like fish, great way to get in some protein, and then the fat that comes with that salmon or those other saltwater fish are going to often have a lot of these omega-3s in them. So that is a great way to get them in. But you can get them other places in your diet, like flaxseed, chia, walnuts, and algae. Sometimes people will take these as supplements. I always like to recommend if you're going to get a supplement, make sure it's just omega-3. There's a lot of products out there that are like omega-3, 6, 9. You do not need more of the other omegas. Those tend to actually be pretty high in the American diet. And it's actually a balance between omega and 3 and omega 6 that we're trying to shift. So we have more omega-3s than 6s. So again, if you're doing a supplement for omega-3, because maybe you don't like salmon or seafood, then make sure it's just omega-3. You don't need more of the other omegas. You are probably getting enough of those in your diet. And then we mentioned cholesterol early on, and cholesterol is another fat that has gotten a really bad reputation. But as I mentioned before, cholesterol is actually completely essential to our bodies. We make our hormones out of it. And it's also the cell walls. Like literally our body would be nothing without cholesterol. And because cholesterol is so important to our body actually makes cholesterol. So that's one of the things the liver is doing, is making cholesterol. So we eat cholesterol. It gets absorbed through our intestines, gets kind of circulated in our body, goes to our liver. But our liver can also release and make its own cholesterol because again, it's essential to our body. So our body's able to make it. So a lot of times we think, oh, if we have a problem with cholesterol, we shouldn't eat very much of it. If we're worried about heart health, we need to be careful. And that is true for some people. There are some people out there who are super cholesterol absorbers, meaning they absorb a lot of it from their gut. And so those people probably should moderate the amount of cholesterol. But most people, that is not where the high cholesterol in their blood is coming from. Most people, it is not because they're eating too much eggs or eating too many foods that are high in cholesterol. It usually has to do with this metabolic dysfunction that we've talked about before, where, you know, often you'll have high blood sugar, high blood pressure, liver disruption. And so one of the things when people have sort of metabolic dysfunction, when their metabolic health is not ideal, is that their liver can actually, not be making and recycling cholesterol optimally. And that's why we see high cholesterol in the blood. So while dietary structures can help with cholesterol, watching animal products and foods that are high in cholesterol, your body's also doing some of this without that dietary source. So all of that to say, don't stress too much about eating cholesterol. This doesn't mean eat 14 eggs every day like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast, right? Remember in that song, when I was a boy, I ate 12 dozen eggs every day, right? So you don't need to eat like an excessive amount, but there used to be this big stress, this big push about limiting cholesterol. So again, unless you're one of these hyper responders, people who truly have really high cholesterol, absorb it too much, this genetic condition, you can probably handle a moderate amount of cholesterol without stressing too much. And just remember, your body makes cholesterol. So even if you're not eating very much cholesterol, if you have other health issues going on, if your metabolic function is not ideal, then you are likely to have a bigger impact from that than what you're eating. Weight loss, nutrition, exercise is going to help with that metabolic health, all the things we talk about on this podcast. And so improving your overall health is going to improve your cholesterol and your heart disease risk more than stressing about cholesterol in your diet. All right, so that's some of the common fats that you can look for in your diet. And why should we eat fat, or why shouldn't we eat fat? So we already talked about one of the challenges with fat is that it is very dense. So it is really easy to overeat fat. So when we are eating fatty foods, even really healthy ones like olive oil and nuts, we just need to be mindful of portion size. And if you haven't paid much attention to that, that might be something to look up. Look at the label on the food, actually measure for a little while, see how many nuts you're eating. Nuts are great, but you could easily eat 1,000 calories of nuts in one setting. I know I could. I love nuts. So you just need to know what an appropriate portion size is, how many calories, how much total nuts you're getting, or how much butter you're getting, or how much olive oil you're getting. We also want to avoid unnecessary fat in our diet. So one of the most common places that will come in is fried food. So if you have a fried dish that you love to have on occasion, great. Think of it as a treat. Think of it as like dessert or a milkshake or something. But if you're having fried food on a regular basis, things that are battered and fried, like chicken tenders or fried fish, French fries, potato chips, these have a lot of fat that are going along with the cooking process. And you may find that you enjoy that food almost as much using an air fryer or baking the food without all the oil that comes in with deep frying a food. So watching out for those deep fried foods that have a lot of additional calories in them. But how much fat should you eat? You know, I think this answer varies so much from person to person and how you respond to fat. So one of the nice things about fat is it tends to be really satiating, really satisfying, and really filling for a lot of people. Now, some people never get that fullness sensation, and those people often benefit from medications, which you can listen to in some of my previous episodes. But a lot of people feel really full and satisfied from fat. So, you know, if I have a slice or two of bacon in the morning and an egg, I may feel very full and satisfied for a long amount of time. Same thing with things like yogurt or cottage cheese that has some fat in it. That can be really satiating for people. Same thing, eating a plain salad, probably not going to fill you up or make you feel that satisfied, but toss a nice olive oil dressing on it, a little bit of avocado, you might feel a lot more full and satisfied for a long time. And then you may not have to eat as soon. Another thing to know about fat is fat has no impact on blood sugar or on insulin. So if you're someone who really struggles with insulin resistance, with high blood sugars, maybe you've tracked that or you know you have prediabetes, when you eat carbohydrates, that's spiking up your blood sugar and spiking up your insulin. When you eat fat or combine carbohydrates with fat and protein, then you are not going to spike your insulin and blood sugar as much. And if you ate just pure fat, you're going to have almost no effect on your blood sugar and no effect on insulin. And so that's a strategy that sometimes is helpful for people. Remember, there are only three macronutrients. There is protein, there is carbohydrates, and there's fat. So if we start trying to limit one of those, we have to increase the other. So the problem that happened in sort of the 80s, 90s was fat got blamed for a lot of things and people started cutting fat from the diet. And as a result, they ate a lot of simple carbohydrates instead. Well, now look what we have. We have 1 in 3 adult Americans that have prediabetes, that have insulin resistance. And so if you are watching fat in your diet, which can be a great strategy for some people, you want to make sure that you are filling the rest of your nutrition with complex carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, and you want to make sure you're increasing your protein. So this is where we have to look at the big picture. But some people feel a lot more full and satisfied with fat and do better and lose weight even better with higher fat in the diet. And some people have to watch it. We consider a low-fat diet to be less than 30% of calories from fat. And of course, some people get more extreme than that, but that's the definition, is 30% or less of the calories in your diet coming from fat. And I would say that most of my patients are on plans where 30 to 40% of their calories are coming from fat. Again, I think with fat, the most important thing is to watch portion size, because again, it can add up really quickly. And we want to focus on trying to get those healthy plant-based sources of fat in our diet, our MUFAs and our PUFAs, as well as our omega-3s that largely come from seafood. Okay, so your homework this week, if you have never tracked these things or it has been a while, consider tracking, logging your food for a week. You're not judging it. You're not putting any limitations on it. You're not scoring yourself. Do it as a scientist to observe. How many grams of fat are you getting? How many calories of fat are you getting? What is a portion size of nuts? What is a portion size of olive oil? How much of your fats are coming from polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats? How much is coming from saturated fats? Is there foods in your diet that you've been eating that have maybe a little bit of trans fats in them? And are those something that you want to maybe remove from your diet? So those would be your homework today. Just be aware of it. It's not judging it. It's not restricting it. Just be aware. That way you can make choices for your health based on that. All right. Until next week, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Francavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrancavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.